The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld he was in torment. He raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad, but now he's comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us, you and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine being in heaven or hell. In both places, there is a great banquet and a table filled with delicious food. But there's a catch. Everyone has extremely long spoons, so long that they cannot feed themselves. In hell, people starve, frustrated, pushing food around, unable to eat. In heaven, everyone thrives because they feed one another with the long spoons. And so the difference? Compassion, the ability to reach out to others. This allegory of the long spoons mirrors the spiritual truth this 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time warns us about. Our eternal happiness depends not just on what we have, but on how we use it for others. Let me share with you the three C's to live in a life of compassion: care, compete, and connect. First, care. The prophet Amos in our first reading condemns those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches, eating lambs and calves and singing idle songs. They are rich, they are comfortable, and and oblivious to the suffering around them, like the people with long spoons who refuse to feed each other. They live in a kind of spiritual hell here and now, because wealth and comfort can harden the heart. It is hard to show care when we are complacent in the way we live. Amos warns that God sees our indifference, and it carries consequences. And the antidote for indifference is care, heeding the needs of those who suffer and are in want. And the book of Psalms says, "Blessed is he who keeps faith forever, secures justice for those oppressed, gives food to the hungry." The second C, compete. St. Paul encourages Timothy to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These virtues are like learning to use the long spoons for others. It's easy to eat alone, to enjoy blessings without sharing. But faith calls us to stretch, to practice love actively, to resist complacency. Let us not forget the reminder of St. Paul: compete well for the faith, lay hold of eternal life to which you are all called. And the last C, connect. The parable of Jesus of the rich man and Lazarus gives us a real life picture of the long spoon allegory. The rich man had wealth, comfort, and power, yet he ignored Lazarus at his gate. He had the means to feed the hungry. He had the opportunity to show care for the suffering, but he did nothing to connect with him. Notice he does not have a name, unlike the poor man whose name is a derivative of the name Eleazar, a Hebrew name which means God is my help. As someone who is rich, he must be someone who should be recognized, as someone who has a status in his community. He should be someone who should have a name. But God thinks differently, since true wealth does not consist in one's possessions, but on how we deal with them and how we use them to uplift others. Lazarus has name because God knew him. The rich man who only valued things is nameless in God's eyes. Long spoons remind us that our happiness and holiness are meant to connect us with others and with God rather than with things. How do we live compassion? How am I as a compassionate person? In the face of suffering, do we have the capacity to journey with others in their pains so we can lead them through a discovery that they are not alone, that they have us who are one with them, that they have Jesus who journeys with them. Once I was asked to visit a sick young man. When I entered his room, he was giving me a stare as if pleading that I give him the last rites. He feels he will not stay any longer. He carried with him a lot of burdens, especially on not finding meaning and purpose in his life. For him, this started when his girlfriend had a miscarriage. He was quite guilty that the baby had to suffer in that manner. Then he asked me if his baby was saved since he was not baptized. And so I took the opportunity to do a little teaching with him about baptism. And I said that yes, the church teaches that baptism is necessary for salvation. But then we have to remember there are three kinds of baptism. As our catechism would remind us, there is this baptism of water wherein the candidate is being poured water on his head with a formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then there is this baptism of blood wherein if a Christian would give his life for Christ through martyrdom, his own blood is his own baptism. And then there is what we call baptism of desire. So I said to him, deep inside you, as a father to your baby, you have always wanted your child to be saved. And God is rich in mercy. Your baby is now in the hands of God, especially that she has a father who desires for her salvation. That very desire alone has baptized your child. I saw in his eyes lighted up and can't believe he heard me say, "You are the father of your child." So in disbelief, no, he asked me, "You called me father, no?" Yes, you are, no? Because in a way, you have given life to your child. No? So those words are just the missing piece of the puzzle that simply gave new meaning, new purpose in his life. No? I don't know what happened to him after I left, but I just took the opportunity to care, to compete well for the faith, to connect with him, to connect him with God. Sisters and brothers, look at your own long spoons. How can you feed someone who cannot feed themselves? It might be a neighbor in need, a friend who is lonely, or even a stranger who needs a kind word. Don't let your spoons remain idle. God invites you to extend them in love. Our gifts, our time, our patience, our understanding are meant to feed others. Let us use our long spoons to care for those who suffer, to compete well for the faith, and connect others to God, so that His kingdom may grow through us and among us. Amen.